From WUOT News, this is The Method, a series exploring the intersection of science and society. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth. In a few moments, we'll look at water quality in the streams that flow through Oak Ridge. But first, at this very moment, a space probe about the size of a grand piano, launched nearly 10 years ago, is speeding toward its destination. NASA's New Horizons spacecraft will zoom past the dwarf planet Pluto and its five moons in July. It'll give humanity its first close look at the small, cold world on the edge of our solar neighborhood. Planetary scientist Josh Emery has researched Pluto and similar objects, and he can be the first to tell you it is difficult to study Pluto from Earth.
One thing, as I'm sure that people have probably heard recently, it's the 25th anniversary of the Hubble Space Telescope, mm-hmm. and so Hubble has been a boon to all of astronomy, including solar system astronomy. As far as spatially resolved images of Pluto, Hubble's been the first facility that can do that, that can distinguish features on the surface of Pluto. But all Hubble can distinguish are really bright and dark features. Aside from that, just other telescopic observations. Pluto's surface is composed of ices, but ices of things. It's so cold at Pluto that things like nitrogen, which makes up most of our atmosphere, is solid on the surface of Pluto. And then it also has methane ice, which again is a gas mm-hmm. on Earth, and carbon monoxide exists as an ice on Pluto's surface as well.
This is not the kind of place where you'd want to take a vacation.
That's right, unless you like really cold places.
And poisonous, for that matter. As we were just talking about here, the best images of Pluto so far, they're blurry, but they do differentiate between darker and lighter areas, and they also pick up some traces of color, some yellowy or reddish kind of hues on the surface. What do scientists think that coloration indicates?
Well, another interesting thing about Pluto is that it has an atmosphere. Mm. So there are molecules like methane in Pluto's atmosphere that sunlight, even though there's only a little bit of sunlight out at Pluto, it's mm-hmm. enough to break those apart, and the fragments reform larger and larger and larger molecules. And so we think that this processing by sunlight of the atmosphere builds up basically smog particles that then fall to the surface to create the coloration.
Oh, interesting. So it snows smog on Pluto, essentially?
Snow's a strong word, but yeah.
It comes down to the surface in kind
That's
of a
right.
solid form. What are some of the major questions that astronomers hope to learn from this flyby mission? And I should point out that a flyby, this spacecraft is not going to go into orbit around Pluto and study it for a long, long time. It's basically got one shot as it zooms past the planet and its moons to snap photographs and take measurements. And so there's only so much that we can learn in the few hours maybe that we have coming up in July. What do astronomers hope to learn?
Well, we know so little about Pluto, and not only Pluto itself, but Pluto is a representative of these dwarf planets, these other Kuiper Belt objects we've discovered. We want to know what geologic processes operate. Will we see mountains and valleys? Mm. Will there be glaciers of these exotic ices on Pluto? Mapping those out will tell us a lot about the evolution of these really exotic bodies in the outer solar system.
Well, I hope we can have you back later on in the summer after the pictures start coming in and after some of those measurements are made, and you can brief us on what we've learned from the New Horizons mission.
That'd be a pleasure.
All right. Dr. Josh Emery is a planetary scientist at the University of Tennessee. Dr. Emery, always a pleasure to have you on The Method.
Well, thank you, Brandon. It's nice to be here.
Pollution studies in and around Oak Ridge have been underway for decades. WUOT's Chrissy Kuiper recently caught up with a scientist who's investigating mercury pollution in Oak Ridge Creeks.
It's a clear morning following a few days of heavy rain, and East Fork Poplar Creek in Oak Ridge is running unusually high and muddy.
Usually you can see the bottom. When it rains a lot in a small amount of time, it's very flashy.
Monica Poteet is a postdoctoral research associate in environmental sciences at the Oak Ridge National Laboratory. She and other scientists study metal pollutants in the creeks of Oak Ridge.
My specialty is invertebrate toxicology, metal bioaccumulation in different invertebrate groups, aquatic insects, and all the critters that fish are eating.
And that's important to scientists because they can look at the insect communities and see how healthy the stream is.
If the population is very species rich, then your stream is, you know, doing well, it's not that polluted. But if you start to see species disappear, if you see certain species dominating and others not, then you know that your stream is contaminated and you have problems.
In Poplar Creek, Poteet and her colleagues are concerned mostly with mercury contamination.
For the past 30 or so years, twice a year, people come out and take samples from the bug communities here and look at species diversity, species richness, how healthy the communities are.
And the state of those populations basically tells scientists how remediation or cleanup efforts are going.
If your community's improving, then you're doing a good job. If it's not, then you might need more work. At some of our more contaminated sites, we see species richness improving, so there's more species able to be in that contaminated site. If you take contaminants out, you'll have more species able to live there. And so sites might go from having, I don't know, 10 or 12 species of one type to having 20 or 25.
So the results for East Fork Poplar Creek?
We've got this 30 years of data. We have mercury in water and mercury in fish. And we see big declines in mercury in water, but we're not seeing those declines in fish. That's part of why we're focusing on invertebrates now. Mercury is mainly accumulated via diet, not through the water. And so we're looking at the different invertebrates in the stream, so the fish food, to see what concentrations they're taking up, what kind of species they're eating, what kind of species are actually bringing mercury into the food web.
And they're seeing that different invertebrate groups do have different concentrations of mercury.
And so actually in a few weeks we're going to come out to five different sites along the stream and do a lot of intensive sampling to try and get better numbers on mercury and the different types. And we're also going to try and build food webs to track mercury up to fish.
Monica Poteet researches environmental sciences at the Oak Ridge National Laboratory. I'm Chrissy Kuiper, WUOT News.
That's it for this edition of The Method. Don't forget you can listen to our entire archive online at WUOT.org. Until next time, I'm Brandon Hollingsworth.